We're back with Season 2, Episode 1 of Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we talk all things security testing. Here we are. New building, new setup. This is not a jungle. Where are we, Tom?
We're in the new Cytix HQ.
We just
moved into our office, getting all settled in. As you can see, the lighting and the plant wall are in. Not quite got heating nailed yet, but we're getting there.
We are getting there. And this is where we're going to be filming every episode of Let's Talk Security Testing for the foreseeable future. And today, I guess, just to get straight into it, we're covering Jira tickets and how useful Jira tickets can be when informing a security testing program. Tom, do you want to kick us off with some initial thoughts and ideas in relation to Jira tickets and testing?
Sure. So I guess from a really zoomed out perspective, the value that Jira tickets can give us is in telling us what kinds of changes have been made to an application. Because fundamentally, vulnerabilities only really come from changes. Not necessarily always changes made by developers. You can have changes in the threat landscape, new vulnerabilities and things like that. But the vast majority of changes, of vulnerabilities in applications particularly, come from changes where somebody's written a piece of code and maybe they've made a mistake or something of that nature. And Jira is a treasure trove of this information.
Nice. Nice. And I guess, okay, so we've got these tickets, we've got these write-ups inside this system. How does a security person go about accessing that information and what do they see, what do they do when they can?
I think it varies slightly organization to organization, but typically Jira tickets are natural language descriptions of what has or what is going to be changed inside a business, inside an application. So a security person can, by rights, just get access to a particular Jira board and start reading through the tickets, right? You can start looking at them one by one and thinking with a bit of a pen tester's nose, this ticket smells a bit funny, it might be touching an area that's particularly sensitive, or it might be touching a user role or a permission or something like that. And instinctively, as a security person, you can probably infer from that that there might be some vulnerabilities. Now, that's the most simple form, right? You can get much, much more complicated where you're doing things like threat modeling every single ticket to be able to say, this one will introduce potentially these kinds of vulnerabilities, this one will introduce those. But by rights, the most simple form is just read a few tickets, see which ones look a little bit suspicious, and start honing in your focus in your security testing off the back of that.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, are we already, you know, again, don't want to speak for the whole audience, I mean, but generally speaking, accepted practice is that, you know, we're already going to be testing changes. We're going to be running a SAS scanner, we're going to be doing some composition analysis potentially, might even have a monthly DAST running. What's the point of looking at the changes if we're already testing them?
Well, two points really. Efficiency is obviously a massive gain. If you know the kinds of changes that have been made, the kinds of areas inside an application that have been changed, you know the areas that you need to focus those tools on. And rather than blindly trying to test absolutely everything, you can be hyper-specific, hyper-concentrated, and pretty sophisticated about the tests that you're performing on the areas that have been touched. But the other thing, the second part to it, is DAST and SAST and pipeline type discovery detection methods for vulnerabilities are great at finding certain vulnerabilities, and if all you're doing is changing the headers or changing cookie flags or maybe introducing simple form fields, yeah, you probably don't need to really think about it. You can trust these pipeline tools to detect the vulnerabilities. But when you're doing things like touching business logic, we know tools fundamentally cannot detect these kinds of vulnerabilities. And so those are the areas that you need to pick up and say it's time to maybe go out of pipeline, out of band, and actually do a little bit more testing here.
Okay, makes sense. And I guess why Jira, why ticketing systems as opposed to kind of code differentials or just going and speaking to the development team?
So Jira tickets, as I mentioned before, they're written in natural language, right? It is information written in a way that can be interpreted by a person and typically describes more than just the hyper-specific lines of code that will be changed by the developer. It will typically provide some sort of a story or some sort of a wider description as to how it's going to impact the application and the environment at large. When somebody tweaks a number, a percentage, a variable somewhere inside a program, very, very difficult to look at that code diff and be able to say, this is what the cascading impact will be across the entire application. But when somebody says something like, introduce a voucher that adds a 30% discount to every transaction, then you can actually infer from that that there are likely to be vulnerabilities around the business logic when you're processing those kinds of discounts.
Yeah, of course. I guess we've got, you know, many examples of how we've seen that in real world situations. Fundamentally, though, what would you say are some of the biggest reasons for security personnel to start looking into what are effectively developer systems, right? They're not security systems. What are some of the benefits, I suppose, of security taking more of an active role in looking at developers' change tickets?
I think there's an input and an output benefit, right? The input benefit to the security team and the security team's objectives is that you're able to find vulnerabilities sooner because you're finding them as soon as the changes are being made, or even if you're looking at those tickets before those changes are made, you're predicting those potential vulnerabilities before the developers even had time to write it. So you're going to catch those vulnerabilities as soon as possible. And shift left is a conversation, obviously, we have a lot of the time. Secure by design is a conversation we have a lot of the time. And this really speaks to both of those if you introduce it in an effective way. But the output benefit is the benefit to the development team as well. If you can attribute a vulnerability you find to a particular test that you did that was driven by a particular change or a particular ticket, you can start doing some really, really sophisticated root cause analysis, right? You can say, this vulnerability came from this JIRA ticket, and we know that when you introduce similar JIRA tickets, it introduces similar vulnerabilities. So we need to provide some developer training around these kinds of changes. We need to be hypervigilant around these kinds of changes, or introduce some other sorts of controls to be able to help protect. And that's actually treating the systemic problem of where vulnerabilities come from, rather than just doing this sort of hamster wheel of scan and fix.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I guess, you know, in the absence of a tool like Citix or similar tools, you know, in terms of automating this process, what should people be looking for, and what types of skills do you need when you're looking at, you know, you mentioned the pen tester's nose earlier. Can you elaborate on what that might entail?
Well, as I say, in the most simple format, a person going in and reading a bunch of tickets and saying, these tickets are touching areas that we consider to be mission critical, these tickets are touching authentication, they're touching our customer database, these are the areas to maybe focus on. And that's really, really simple. Anybody can do that. In fact, a lot of tickets inside things like JIRA already have flags, already have tags that say that's what it's touching, and you can be really, really efficient in being able to find those tickets. You can be much more sophisticated. You can do the threat modeling. You can analyze every single ticket and say maybe these vulnerabilities are being introduced, maybe these vulnerabilities aren't being introduced. You can predict the kinds of vulnerabilities that are likely to come in, because you know that if you add a new input field, then injection attacks are potential. But if you change a HTTP header, then misconfigurations around CSP, for example, are a different vulnerability class that you should be looking for. There is a skill set that goes into that, but you can leverage things like large language models to be able to make this a lot easier. They're not infallible, but they're a really, really useful tool for you to, both at scale and if you've got limited knowledge or resource inside the business, be able to analyze thousands and thousands of JIRA tickets and be able to start to build up this intelligence picture around the kinds of vulnerabilities that might be there.
And I know everyone listening will be at a different maturity step, in terms of their organisations, DevSecOps, SDLC practices, policies. You know, this doesn't sound like foundational, fundamental stuff. This sounds like more advanced, more mature approach to looking at this. Is that true? Is this for the more mature organisations that have already implemented some of the kind of essential kind of SaaS practices? Or is there benefits for kind of people just starting out on a DevSecOps journey as well?
I think the more mature organisations are going to see a greater level of benefit in this. I'd say if you've not got some sort of SaaS or DAST inside your pipeline, you've probably not got the ability to orchestrate the kinds of testing that you want to in order to catch these vulnerabilities as soon as possible. But it's still valuable to you, right? It still means that when you bring that next annual pen test in, or when you do start to bring these tools in, you know where to start. You know, I used to be a pen tester myself. I used to come in, spend 10, 15 days testing an application once a year. I'd leave a year later, I'd come back and say, right, is there anywhere particular you want me to look? And often there wouldn't be an answer. But if you start to actually analyze the sort of roundup of all of the changes that have been made throughout the year, and you can say these things are exactly the same as they were last year, these things are massively and wildly different from where they were, obviously I can start to add more value by focusing on those areas that have changed. So there is definitely a benefit to everybody. I'd say the more mature the organization, the greater the benefit that they'll see.
Awesome. Okay, so I think that's sort of getting towards a close for this week's episode. Have you got any kind of key takeaways would be for anybody listening today that they can kind of take away and maybe put into practice in their workplace, you know, over the next week or so?
Building basic gates into your Jira, not gates that the development team have to be concerned about, but you know, whether it's alarms or notifications or just having somebody go through and sanity check a sample of the tickets going through to be able to really understand the kinds of changes that developers making is a really easy step to being able to actually inform on where the systemic issues, where the vulnerabilities are coming on to begin with. And I think beyond that, start looking towards large language models and automated mechanisms to be able to actually start being more in depth and focus on every ticket as it comes through.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to a close for today. Thanks for everybody tuning in, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Bye now.